All right, good evening.
Good evening.
No, one, good evening.
Good evening.
There you go, all right. So, we are excited to have another night here at Dome, another Wednesday night. Before we get started, I would just like to read the museum statement. The Air American National Museum sits on Anishinaabe land and is located in the region with the highest concentration of Arab Americans in the nation. We also acknowledge our neighboring city, Detroit, as Anishinaabe territory and other indigenous people's land as being the largest majority of black city in the nation with a long legacy of African diasporic contributions. We uplift the larger ethnic and racial fabric of our Metro Detroit community. So we are gonna get this night started. I would like to say, if anybody's interested in open mic, sign-up sheet is right over there. We have two brave, brave men. Is anybody else? Anyone? I will also put my name, and Wissam, good, and Wissam, and I will also put my name on that list, so there's four of us now. We'll get started with one of our featured poets, or sorry, featured comedians here. Okay. His name is Rafi Barakat. He is a comedian from the West Coast, and that's California, studied at Fresno State University. He's begun his journey as a comedian in October 2011. And some of his hobbies include bumper cars, the guitar, and multimedia. Warm and brave welcome to Barakat, Rafi.
Thank you. All right. Should I perform comedy or present it? It says podium. Perform? Sounds good. Everybody, I wasn't expecting to go up this early, but I'm really happy I'm on this stage. I'm so happy I'm in this town. Wow, Dearborn Arab American Museum. I'm gonna start with a story. I was here last year, and upstairs there is a exhibit piece of magnetism. And it's the Kaaba as a magnet, and around it is a lot of charcoal painting of going around to show movement. It's really cool. I used it as a presentation for a class I was taking, a religious studies class. I'll get to material later. I just want to tell this story. Oh man, this is like, I feel all the energy from you guys, doctors, musicians, poets, comedy. Don't worry, we'll be vibing in a minute. I'm a little weird. So I used it in a presentation, but I had some people who were like, you know, Islamophobic in my group because we didn't get to choose the project. They wanted to talk about 9/11 and all this stuff. And I wanted to use that artwork for the presentation. So they were giving me a hard time. It's like, why are you putting magnets in the presentation? Why are you putting it on the PowerPoint? So I made out of cardboard my own Kaaba. And I used magnets, and I brought it to the presentation without telling them, and I passed it around the class, and it was like a badass moment. They shut up. It was cool. Anyways, how's it going, everybody? Y'all doing good? Cool. My name is Rafiq. It is Arabic for good friend. I wish I lived up to it. I do not. My best friend is actually a garbage can named Topher, because Topher knows everything about my life. Topher knows my Kleenexes, Topher knows my toilet paper, my used condoms. Everything that comes out of me goes into Topher. That's pretty much it. And Topher, you know, my cousin told me not to do this joke, but I'm doing it anyways. And Topher has my back. He let me reorganize his apartment too. Say I'm vegan, just like your host over here, and you eat McDonald's, right? You don't want to throw that bag on the very top. Topher's like, hey, you can reorganize my apartment. Hide this from anybody holding you accountable. What a friend. I'm not that friend. If you're cheating on your girlfriend, I will tell her. So, anyway. I'm Syrian. I grew up in California around a bunch of cowboys and military people. And those forces try to anglicize my very being all the time. But if they can't handle me, am I Aladdin? They don't deserve me. Am I Rafiki? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I like Will Smith as the genie in the new Aladdin. I think that was good. If I was writing about that movie, my headline would be "Getting Genie with It." No, 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 no. Getting Genie with It. Also, like, you know, they try and get Jasmine in that movie, you know, and it's Will Smith. He was in Hitch. They might as well have casted Kevin James as Aladdin and called it Hitch too. I think it would have been a better movie. Would have got a better reception. Arab stereotypes in that movie, you know, you got the aesthetic first off, but you also have, you know, the thief and, you know, the regime, right? There's a regime in that movie. You have the Sultan as the patriarchy. You got Jasmine as a person for an arranged marriage. And you got Jafar, which is like the weird friend who like has a snake staff and it's like, listen to me. And he's listening to a parrot. And he's like, you should be a prince. I don't know. Is everybody familiar with that movie yet? I don't know. That whole movie is about a mentally ill man who listens to a parrot. That's pretty much the entire movie. Arab stereotypes in that movie, somewhat obsolete. It's supposed to be Aladdin, but he's like more Western European, you know? The Arab woman is probably the one that's like, still, I think he's rather tasty. You know? What am I trying to say with that one, huh? But I think the most accurate one is probably the Cave of Wonders. Does anyone know the Cave of Wonders? You know, sand monster that comes from the ground, looks all evil and scary on the outside with all this gold and oil from Iraq on the inside. And then Aladdin is like the United States military coming in and is like, hey, can we have like all of this? And he's like, how about you just take the lamp? Don't touch any of the gold. And of course, Apu touches the gold. And then the entire place collapses onto itself. Somewhat allegorical, right? Call of Duty's coming out with Call of Duty Egypt, which means the United States military is going to Egypt in like 15 years. It's usually what that means. I'm still waiting for Call of Duty Agrabah. We're still talking about Aladdin, right? He's like, is Detroit, Dearborn? California, Michigan. Yeah. You guys know Gert Schramm? Gert Schramm is the only black survivor in the Buchenwald concentration camps during the Holocaust. And he is black and Jewish, of course. And, you know, they had chefs in those camps. And the chefs were Afro-Germans. And these Afro-Germans were slaves to German people. And Fasiya Jensen is one of those chefs. She's a woman, Afro-German woman. And I was just thinking, what kind of interactions would be going on between a Jewish black person and a slave black person from Germany and a Semite? And it just was to be like, what are you doing on that side? And he's like, no, I'm Jewish. I'm supposed to be on this side. Not supposed to be, but like, you know, they're telling me to be on this side. And she's like, well, you're black. Why don't you just flaunt it, say you're a slave, and come over here? And he's like, no, no, we're being, like, oppressed right now. Like, I have to stay with my brothers. Like, they're being, like, persecuting us. And she's like, yeah, I have no idea what that's like. You should just come over to this side so you can, like, live. And he's like, well, our people are being treated unfairly. Like, we should try and figure this out from this side. And she's probably like, oh, really? Your people are being treated unfairly? Yeah, okay. So am I. That's pretty much that. Just come over to this side. And he's like, I think it's going to work out for me. It did. He survived. He died in the 90s. That was the beginning of the story. Thank you for going on that ride with me. People say they're born in Israel all the time. That's like going, I wasn't born in California. I was born in Disneyland, right? Because it's made up, huh? Is this going online? Cool. That's how I'll end that joke, if it's gonna be public. So 9/11 ruined the phrase "never forget" for my family and I. So sad. We used to say it in our household all the time. You know, my dad would be like, "Never forget to brush your teeth." I'd be like, "Okay, I got it. My memory's gonna be kick ass when I grow up." "Never forget to comb your hair." And I'm like, "I have style. This is awesome." "Never forget to hug me because I'm your father." And I'm like, "All right, Baba, I will hug you." And then fucking 9/11 happened. And now I haven't hugged my dad in 18 years. But he hasn't hugged me in 28 years, so it's not like anything's changed for me. So I make paper airplanes a lot, and I like to throw them into buildings just to fuck around. And people are like, "That's insensitive." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So now I make 2 paper airplanes and throw them into 2 separate buildings. Maybe that's a little more sensitive. So I am not gonna reveal too much about myself. If this is gonna go online, I can though. So the Crusades, there were Crusades in 1,000 years ago in Syria and then Palestine, now Palestine, but also then, where Western Europe's Pope was like, "Hey, we should go over there and set up like Christian churches and leave all the Christian Syrians alive and sell all the black Arabs to slavery and the Muslim and the Jewish ones, let's just eradicate them." So God may have chosen the Jewish people, but Western Europe chose me. So have fun in heaven, I'm having fun on earth, right? Look how shitty this point of view is, but it takes work to dig that stuff out. Believe me. Or don't. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. So my car's turning signals went out the other day, so I had to learn manual turning signals. So I don't know the manual turning signals. There's right, there's left, and there's stop. And I had to make a right turn, but there was a car to the right of me. So it just looked like I threw up the black power symbol and cut them off. So that was my act of protest. When I'm in Ferndale, I make my left turns like this. And last month, during Pride Month, when I saw straight people kissing, I had to do this. Because, yeah. Guys, what do you want from me? Oh my God. You guys are incredible. Writers, doctors, poets, musicians, comedians, or, I don't know if I'm incredible. I feel incredible. And then I meet people and I'm like, they're better than me. So my nephew and I were playing video games the other day, and I heard his parents having sex. And he was like, "What's that noise?" And I was like, "They're mad at each other, you know, call us." And then he was like, "How come you're never angry?" It's like, "I don't know, how come you're being a little asshole?" But I didn't say that to him. I said, "I don't know, I have the demeanor that makes a woman say, 'You had me at hello.' And then I lose her when I say, 'I like Will Smith as the genie in the new Aladdin.' I don't know what to tell you." Yeah, I'm so excited. You guys don't even know how good I am with tough crowds. This is cool, this is cool. Syrian, growing up around a bunch of cowboys, military guys. I dated this girl one time, and I was, she had a basement. Her dad was like this guy, very skeptical of me, which is okay, because man is the root of all problems. So I'm like, be skeptical. I'm skeptical of me. I'm skeptical of you too, sir. Anyway, I was going down to the basement, and he had a, gun range, like target practice of an Arab guy, and there was a bunch of bullet holes in it. And I was like, why am I dating people here? Like, why do I date white people? They're like, speak Arabic into my ear. I'm like, but the kasarasak, yeah. And she's like, that's so romantic. Anger is fun. Anger is sexy. And I'm like, what you think is sexy is gonna make these men all competitive and want to kill each other for you. See how I blame women? I'm like, I'm blaming women. I don't know. That's why comedy is great, because these are just jokes. Let's see, what else? My parents wanted me to be a doctor, so they're proud of me, right? That's in that one. Let's see, what else? I saw this film, and it starts off in a train, and it's like this white guy, and he's looking for like a Muslim woman in the train. That's just how these movies start. And, you know, he finds like a brown Muslim man, kind of looks like you, and going to the bathroom. So he follows him to the bathroom, and then he leaves the bathroom. And then he's like, I should still check in this bathroom. And he opens it up, and it's a Muslim woman with a bomb on her chest. So he pulls the gun out and points it at her, and he's like, Salaam alaikum. And it's like, I'm so sorry. Isn't that just bullshit? And then he's like, I don't want to hurt you. You don't have to do this. And she's like, but they're telling me to. And, you know, it's just like the binary frame of America towards Muslim women. And then, I don't know, Eraser. That movie has a bunch of Arabs that just like, you know, they're like, let's be terrorists. Every movie is like that. A lot of movies are like that. Guys, I'm going to go into my... Oh, wait, no. I don't have to. At the Bellerive Ice Rink, they're doing Pepsi on Ice. You guys should check that out. It's going to be a play. I want to make a movie about a Syrian refugee that comes to America. And he's so malnourished that the only thing that he can afford are Pepsi products. And Pepsi marketers start to see that Syrian refugees are buying Pepsi. So America starts letting Syrian refugees come to America. I'm calling it Pepsi on ISIS. It's like capitalism on terrorism. The Syrian Civil War is kind of like if all the Spider-Men in the multiverse started fighting each other. It's like, come on, you're all Spider-Men. What are you doing? There's no malice behind that joke. Also, like, you know, when Arab people get all political, everyone's like, we are all right about something. Because it's somehow emasculating to be wrong as an Arab person. But it's like, we shouldn't be so emasculated if we're wrong about something. And that's coming from an Arab American, so what the fuck do I know? So that's how I'm trying to humble myself. Is this train of thought making any sense? So, I hope I'm being entertaining. That's one. Comedy has a response time, and I'm not meeting it, so that's two. So yeah, okay. What else? Let's see. Thank you guys so much for having me here. I'm having a lot of fun. Cool. No one's drunk or high. Like, I'm not used to this. That we know of. Who here is high? Who's high? Raise your hand if you're high. Doctor? No? You're sober? Okay. Just making sure. I'm holding a microphone, so I feel like I have somewhat of a respect, right? Let's see. So yeah, what the fuck is up with Donald Trump, you know? Like, people think he's a dictator. It's a little different, you know? Dictators and terrorists are different. Same way like strippers and hookers are different, right? Like, one will grab your hard gun, tell you sweet nothings into your ear and dance on you, and the other will fuck you financially and drown you on your way to Western Europe. So he was the only one that was upset that Osama bin Laden died too. And we put that guy in office. You know why he was upset? Because when Obama was doing the White House Correspondents' Dinner, he was making those jokes about him. And a few days before that was when Osama bin Laden passed away, like I'm giving respect. And he had to cut The Apprentice off to explain that to America. So during the Correspondents' Dinner, he was kind of ragging on him, and he was upset. And I was like, this guy is the only guy that's upset that Osama bin Laden is dead now. And we put him in office. So, yeah. So, you know, now he has ICE. That's kind of like ISIS. So it's like he has a terrorist organization. It's not like Nazis, it's a little different. And now the heat's on Mexican people. So it's a little bit off the Arabs. Aren't you guys excited? Because I want to get a pilot's license. I haven't been able to get a pilot's license since 9/11. I want to fly. So that way, I can start flying Mexicans over the border. We can start avoiding ICE altogether. Yeah, okay. You guys just eat this up, huh? All right. Let's see. What else? Is that a whistle? Time to pray? Huh? A car behind me? Oh, cool. Now it just says ice. Look at that. Iceborne. Podier. Okay. Yeah. Shit's fucked up. What else? All right. Yeah. This is all part of the set. You know, the silence, the processing. It's all part of it. Yeah. So, like, I know I've been up here more than 10 minutes, like, for a fact, but I'm cool with it. Just let me know when you need me to. Like, how much time do I have? Like,
minus
11? I've been up here for 22 minutes? You're kidding. I knew it was too long. I'm like, I'm out of material already. It's been 22 minutes. But I'm excited. So thank you all so much for having me. This has been a really incredible experience for me. And I'm so happy to be performing a show at the Arab American Museum. And don't take it for granted. You know, I'm from California. We don't have anything like this. So thank you all very much for listening. And I hope you enjoy the rest of today. Thank you.
All right, let's give it up one more time. All right. So I have a quick letter that I wrote this year, actually. I wrote it about a little thing called Snapchat. Anybody know Snapchat? I'm sure everybody knows Snapchat. Somebody? Anybody? A woo? Something. Yes, there you go. So it's a little letter that I wrote about Snapchat because it just started bothering me. So, dear Snapchat, stop reminding me of all the good times. Sincerely, someone that is trying to move on from the good times and into greater ones. That's my letter to Snapchat, because those reminders are really annoying. So, we're going to move on to our featured poet. Her name is Hanan Yahya. She was born in Yemen and raised in the Southwest Detroit. She attended the University of Michigan and studied urban studies as well as entrepreneurship. Outside of poetry, she loves to bike ride, travel, and is also involved in creating socially innovative projects. So give a warm and brave welcome to Hanan Yahya.
Good evening, everyone. I don't know how I'm going to top Rafiq's performance. I wouldn't consider myself a poet. I'm just someone who likes to write as a means of expressing their life experiences and various emotions. I'm going to share a few pieces that I wrote on my blog, and I hope you enjoy them. They're all in English. I'll begin with this one. It's called A Childhood Demolition. And now my web page is slowly loading. Okay, here we go. My village raised me to beware the wandering eyes of men and the dancing lips of people. To beware of the possibilities, probabilities, and what ifs. Ending my life before my first breath. Before the world deemed me unperfect, my blood ensured I understood it. Wrapping my skin in fabric stitched with fear, guilt, shame, mediocrity. Obey, they exclaimed. Obey, I did. The second poem is, thank you very much. The second poem is Helianthus, and this translates to the sunflower. I adore you madly, he said, but I didn't believe it was true. Like a sunflower, his adoration filled my heart. Like a sunflower, his loyalty put my trust issues to rest. Like a sunflower, his love was invasive and haste. Like a sunflower, I face my sunshine and bloom. And when it is sundown, I bow my head in grief until I feel his light again. For I love him madly. The third poem is called Three. We are given three choices: to be life, to give life, or to take life. This one is called To Unlove You. Unloving you is agony, a romantic's worst misery. A vengeful enemy of the soul, to unlove you will take a lifetime. It will take years of peeling skin on which you've grown. It will take hours of writing, pouring my pain into words, draining my mind of memories. My head has a special home for you, and my heart an even deeper cove, where you remain untouched, unbothered, and loved so tenderly. Maybe you will remain there a secret, and a part of you will always live on me. Some people meet many soulmates, and for you, for me, you were a true one. The moon will join me again for another evening, and I pray one day for better coincidence. In another space, another time, just remember, for as long as I wear this skin, you will always be loved. This poem is called One Day. One day you will tremble with a dire pain, knots in your stomach, shivers in your bones, when you find her only in your fleeting memories. A crumbled paper, an unfinished letter, an unrequited love. Touching the letters that spelled her name, you will search for her in every embrace, in every glance with another. You will search for her loyalty, her fierce passion, her intimacy, her jealousy. You will search for an equal friendship, a divine love, and you will dig relentlessly to find a soul like hers. But you will fail again and again, and finally realize you have lost a partner, friend, and a lover of a lifetime. And finally, this is the final poem called Take Me to the Sky. Place flowers on my eyes, numb my heart with snow, wrap me in a crimson cloak, and take me to the sky. I want to rest in the clouds watch the stars and talk to the moon. Please allow me to breathe anew. And that concludes my performance. Thank you all for listening. It's my first time reciting my poetry ever in front of anyone. So thank you very much. If you want to follow my blog, this is the right time to do it. It's hananaliyahya.com. Just go to hananaliyahya.com. That's where I post everything, my projects, my poetry. Yeah. Yeah. Hanan, H-A-N-A-N, Ali, A-L-I, last name Yahya, Y-A-H-Y-A.com. Yeah, of course. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think that's the one amazing thing about Dome is that we're able to just say whatever we want, right? In the safe space. So we're going to move on. We're going to go into our second featured poet. This is Ali Shadid. He is from Dearborn. He has been doing comedy for over a year now. He studies accounting. So warm and brave welcome to Ali Shadid.
Call me a poet.
Oh, goodness.
So good.
Comedian.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good.
My name is Ali Shadid. I've been doing stand-up for a little over a year now. My first time on stage, I was actually with Ahmed on his show. So thank you, Ahmed, for that. So before I started doing stand-up in high school, beginning of college, I always used to get girls, I used to hear them from do you think I couldn't hear them? But they're always like, oh my God, Ali's so ugly. Till I started doing stand-up and they know how much money I make, they're all like, Ali is ugly and broke. Yeah. If you're wondering, I'm 6'3", which is kind of cool, I guess. I don't know, it's weather's kind of cool up here. But there's a downside to it because I always get weird compliments. Like, I can't tell if it's a compliment or not. Like, this one time, some girl comes up to me. She's like, oh, my God, you're so tall. You must be good at basketball. I'm like, no, I'm not good. She's like, no, you must be good at basketball. Like, you play for the NBA. I'm like, what the hell is this, a draft? No, I'm not good at basketball. And I really hate that question because I suck at basketball. And I know I suck at basketball because I tried out for basketball 3 years in a row in high school, and I never made it once. It's not a sad story. I'm just telling you guys. I was homeschooled, so. Yeah, it took a second to process, didn't it?
Edison makes that homeschooled Edison.
Yeah. Where was I? Oh, anyways, my parents are first cousins. Surprise. I kind of find it funny because I sat down one time and I thought about it and I was like, you know what? Technically, that makes them my second cousins. Which I used to my advantage. Like, this one time I was sitting and my friend called me up. He goes, yo, bro, you want to chill? And I was just chilling with my parents at home. And I was like, no, man, I'm chilling with my cousins today. anybody here still sleep on a bunk bed? Oh, me neither. No, I do. I sleep on a bunk bed. And it kind of sucks. Where's the chair? I need a close. It kind of sucks because when I sleep on the bunk bed, this is legit what I look like. My feet are touching the floor, okay? That shouldn't happen. I think when your feet are touching the floor, it's a big sign that you outgrew the bed. By the way, I sleep on a top bunk. All right, I got one more story for you guys before I get out of here. This one time, when I first got my permit, I was getting dropped off to school, and my dad had hopped in with me because I was driving with a permit. So he was in the passenger seat, and halfway to the school, I realized that my dad's wearing a galabiyu. For the ones that don't know what a galabiyu is, it's like a man dress that the men wear for like prayer, for sleep, for whatever they want. My dad likes to wear it outside the house. I don't know why. So halfway to school, I realized that my dad's going to have to get out and everyone at school is going to see him wearing the galabiyu. So I started freaking out. I started trying to come up with excuses. I got to the school, didn't have an excuse. So I was like, Baba, you know, just hop over the center console. Don't get out. It's cold. He's like, Chop-tacky. He goes, it's summer. What are you talking about? I was like, Baba, please don't get out of the car. Please. I'm begging you. He goes, Ali, Chop-tacky. I'm like, oh my God, it's good. He's going to embarrass me. I realized everybody's walking. Then my dad was being stubborn. So he got out and I seen that everybody's seen him. So I started tripping out. So I went inside the school. Nobody said anything until second hour. Some kid comes up to me. He's like, bro, is that your dad wearing that dress? And I was like, no, that's my cousin. Thank you, guys. I'm Kevin Hart.
All right, one more time for Ali. All right, so before we start our open mic segment, does anybody want to join this four-man list?
She does.
Aya, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Aya. Perfect. Anybody else? Last but not least? Last chance? Oh, make this tighter. Oh, you know what? I am not sure how to do this. Okay. It's perfectly, yeah. All right. Perfect. So we'll get started with... This is as good as it's gonna get. That's what I'm saying. All right. So, Hussein Dakhmak. I hope I said that right. Come on down.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening, everybody. Okay, my first poem. My home. My home is a warm smile, sacred tears, loving hearts, delightful books, innovative idea, endless acts of kindness, sweet murmurs of prayers, a guarantee for a daily sunrise, and a night sky decorated with shining stars. Okay, this is a romantic poem, you know. I think ladies will like it, you know. Okay.
And men also.
Okay. Speaking to you in the language of silence, I closed my mouth and spoke to you in the language of the raindrops, and whispered to you in the language of the flowers, and chanted, I love you in the language of the melody birds. I closed my mouth and voiced my feeling to you in the language of the ocean's waves, and delivered my message to you in the language of the wind breeze. And I conveyed my feeling to you in the language of the twinkling stars. I closed my mouth and spoke to you in the language of eye contact, and expressed myself to you in the language of smiles, and I shouted to you in the sacred language of tears. I closed my mouth and whispered to you in the language of heart, and recited to you in all of nature's implicit language. I spoke to you softly in God's silent language. Thank you. Okay, last one. Stop thinking small. Stop thinking small. Within yourself dwells all the secrets of the universe. Change in the world is at the very fingertips of your creativity. Stop thinking small. Within your heart lies the roadmap to love. You hold a sacred mission, a mission of awakening one soul at a time. Stop thinking small. The eyes of the suffering people are pointing, pointing in your direction, searching for a glimpse of hope. Stop thinking small. Do you want to be remembered as just another number? Let your remembrance ring as an icon of aspiration, a catalyst for change. Stop thinking small. Rise up, live up to your role, and start leading the orchestra that is the universe. Thank you.
We are Scaramanga romantic. I see you, see? I see you. All right. We are going to move on here. We're going to move on to Ali Sobe with a performance and a poem. Give it up.
Hi, guys. So,
are we doing this?
No, not that first. That second, after the poem, yep. So, this past month, I've been working on a album, like a musical album. It's hip-hop.
Woo!
I don't know if any of you guys are hip-hop fans. But anyways, so what I'm going to be performing for you guys today is the spoken word poem that starts off the album, and then the first song off the album.
Okay.
And then the title of the album is called The Stream of Consciousness. This is the whole theme of throughout the album. And so this is the first poem that begins it, and it's called The Stream. The Stream. It is one of the most beautiful thoughts, emotions, and experiences compressed into the current. Consciousness keeps running. It may run fast or slow. It may be calm or chaotic, but no matter what, the stream stops for no one. Consciousness uncontrollably will flow, but do not judge consciousness when it is calm or chaotic. Do not be surprised when it often transitions from sadness to happiness, then to sadness once more. These emotions are true to the stream, are brave enough to be naked in front of those staring. Do not be surprised when vulnerability is present. It is the only thing that keeps the stream moving forward. Although consciousness may run wild, it would still be unlawful to cut off the stream, to dip liquid of your own into the stream, to try and change the stream. This stream is not perfect, yet still it will allow you to sit and observe. It will allow you to see its rises and its falls. But please, be gentle to the stream. Be gentle to my consciousness. So that's the poem. And then right after that, it gets into the first song. And this song is called So Many Times. So you want to hook it up? No, I don't need it. Just a little bit. So many times I just had to chill, I just had to breathe, I had to keep going, I had to believe. So many times I just had to, woo! I'm just a little nervous, guys, my bad.
Take your time.
Oh, sorry. Let me breathe one more time.
Take your time.
Can I use my notes while,
Sure.
Okay, because I think I'm going to forget the stream. Yeah. All right.
Woo!
Thanks. So many times I just had to chill, I just had to breathe, I had to keep going, I had to believe. So many times I just had to run, I just had to leave, needed some time, needed relief. So many times I fell to the ground, but gruesome wings, been through so many things, yet. So many times I cheered, happy on my face it appeared, until one day I couldn't anymore and it all disappeared. So many times I had to stay strong, anytime I committed wrong, I needed to be forgiven. So many times I forced myself to keep on living, whoa. Excuse how blunt I get, but I've held back, I admit. Do you permit me to let you see who I really am, bit by bit? You might say I have dramatized, but honestly, I'm still a little traumatized. Even if now it's a smaller size, finding the pain of the world, staring into mama's eyes, hearing haunted cries, and I can't do much to help. So I start running as a child, becoming a caged bird, still humming. I don't know what the plan is. I'll figure it out with the chorus. So many times I just had to chill, I just had to breathe, I had to keep going, I had to believe. So many times I just had to run, I just had to leave, needed some time, needed relief. So many times I fell to the ground, but grew some wings, been through so many things, yeah. So many times I cheered, happy on my face that appeared, until one day I couldn't anymore and it all disappeared. So many times I had to stay strong, anytime I committed wrong, I needed to be forgiven. So many times I forced myself to keep on living, whoa. Speaking as I shake, looking for an escape, yet I had to wait, listen close. Mostly let this resonate. I would never hesitate if I ever saw an open gate. Wanted to fly, wanted to soar, until age itself unlocked this door. No longer at war, but a flashback I can't ignore. Back to when I was stressing on that floor. I needed you to help me relax more. Breathing deeply, although this happens weekly, I'm trapped on the outside extremely. But when I breathe, I'm running around freely. When I breathe, I'm running around freely, yeah. When I breathe, when I breathe. So many times I just had to chill, I just had to breathe, I had to keep going, I had to believe. So many times I just had to run, I just had to leave, needed some time, needed relief. So many times I fell to the ground, but grew some wings, been through so many things, yeah. So many times I cheered, happy on my face that appeared, until one day I couldn't anymore and it all disappeared. So many times I had to stay strong, anytime I committed wrong, I needed to be forgiven. So many times I forced myself to keep on living, whoa. Thank you, guys.
Let's give it up for Riley one more time. Look at that. I just screamed into the mic. Sorry. All right. So, we have the only woman. Come on down. Let's go, Aya. Let's do this. Let's do this, Aya. Give it up to Aya.
My phone is gonna die, and so if I don't finish my poem, that's why. Okay, I've never performed this one before, and I'm really nervous, and I didn't know I was gonna perform today, so, okay. They ask me where my secret lies, I explain that it's no secret. I don't know what you see in me, I'm not that cute in my body isn't built to standard size. Tell me what you see in me. It can't be the way I stutter when I try to tell you how I feel, and it can't be the way I silence myself when I'm hurting. It can't be the way I constantly look for home in everyone else but myself. I've always wondered what you meant when you said you love the way I hold myself. Maybe it's the range of my arms and the sway of my hips and the pace of my step and the feel of my lips. Maybe it's the orbit of my perception and the flow of my thoughts and the truth in my confessions. Tell me what you see in me. The pretty girls don't believe me when I say I don't know. I'm not built to their standards. I walk into a room and eyes begin to analyze the disguise into a man. I might just be a mystery. Men themselves wonder what they see in me, but there are too many leaves covering my branches, no sight of any roots. Sometimes men swarm around me like a hive of bees, and like a car run empty, I drag myself through it, wondering when this empty tank will catch up to me. So tell me what you see in me. It can't be the way I cry when I can't deal with inner demons. It can't be the way I'm naive to people's intentions. It can't be the way I'll never love myself enough. Maybe it's when I look at you. It's the passion in my eyes and the glisten in my teeth and the power of my waist and the bliss of my feet. I've always wondered what you meant when you said you love the way I hold myself. I've always wondered what it was that drew you to me. What you see in me, like some old painted canvas unfinished, it must be scars that turn to trees and the sun of my smile and the frame of my breast and the beauty of my style. They ask me where my secret lies, I explain that it's no secret. I don't know what you see in me, but I know you understand love beyond appearance. I don't need to be cute or fit to any standard size. I don't need to shout or jump or talk real loud. I don't need to do the most for your attention. You always told me how much you love the way I hold myself. And it's those words that make me want to love myself too. So you showed me that the tongue holds no bones or any structure, but it still has the strength to heal anything hurting. And sometimes even strong enough to patch the empty spaces equivalent to the strength of a pistol, ignited from burning places deep within, and words shoot out like bullets out the muzzle. And from this, I learned that even the most damaged people, the most destructive weapons, can still create a melody worth dancing to, a poem worth listening to. So tell me what you see in me. It can't be the way I pulled the trigger too easily, point in the wrong direction. It can't be the way I ignore all the damage. Tell me what you see in me. Maybe it's the way my words can still shoot into a crowd and make everyone move. Maybe it's the way my bullet land, the bullet lands exactly where it needs to. They ask me where my secret lies. I explain that it's no secret. Next time they ask me what you see in me, I'll say it's the calmness of my presence and the ocean in my eyes, the touch of my hand, the bullets in disguise, and the sweetness to my words. Next time I'll tell them how much you love the way I hold myself.
Yeah. Aya.
That's all good.
She just made us look really... No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Wissam.
I'm so glad I'm here today. Thanks for everyone who participated. I wrote this recently. I saw three pieces of news that kind of became a poem by themselves. One piece of news is about the crowdedness of the island of Santorini in Greece. And the other one is also the rush hour on Mount Everest. Have you heard that news? There's a rush hour on Mount Everest and it's causing a safety hazard for climbers. And the third part, the third news that has the same frequency is that the Louvre, the museum in Paris, was so busy that the employees went on strike. It's so busy that they can't keep up with the crowds. And there's something symbolic, I felt, in all these pieces of news about the beauty of Earth and what's happening to us and it. It's called We All Want to Watch the Sunset in Santorini. We all want to watch the sunset at the beautiful Greek island of Santorini. It melts over the horizon, warming the blue water into red, and its orange color is washed away by the waves to the shore to submerge the rocks slightly, delivering the whispers of the sun. We all want to watch the sunset in Santorini. Quote, if you have the money, you can go. End quote. And we go and we go. Quote, 32 million tourists visited the Greek islands last year. End of quote. Sunset at Santorini was obscured by the thousands of cameras and selfies. We all want to watch the sunset at Santorini, but we end up watching our little screens and an ocean of hands and phones taking selfies and posting, hashtagging and liking and checking boxes on bucket lists before we die and decompose. We all want to watch the sunset in Santorini as if it's not the same sun that sets behind our alleys and through the kitchen window over the empty bottle of olive oil. And we end up crowded on a mountain with our thousands of Chinese-made sandals and Korean phones taking photos of the emptiness of the moment, gathering like ants over a piece of chewed candy, trying to move it into our social media so we can believe it when others do. It's rush hour on Mount Everest. Quote, the world's highest peak. Attempting to climb Everest is an intrinsically irrational act. a triumph of desire over sensibility. Yet, open quote, if you have the money, you can go, end of quote, said Todd Burleson, founder of Mount Everest Guide Services. So we go, and we go, and now people die standing in line for a selfie on the highest peak on Earth, where oxygen is scarce, and you are feet away from a free fall into the gravity that keeps us human. We all want to climb Mount Everest as if the struggle to help a friend grow, or to remove injustice from a neighbor, or to fight for the right of self-determination, or standing against the wrath of capitalism, or trying to subdue the voices in your head, is not the highest peak on Earth. Musée du Louvre Twitter said, "Museum closed today due to a recent increase in visitor numbers. Members of Musée du Louvre's reception and security staff are exercising their right to strike," end of quote. We all want to visit the Louvre and see the Mona Lisa. If you have the money, you can go. So we go, and we go, and we walk past Joseph William Turner's slave ship and Gurkhal's draft of the Medusa looking for the Mona Lisa, and when you find it, you will be standing at the ocean of hands and phones, taking photos and selfies and checking bucket lists before they die and decompose. Open quote, what to say about visiting conditions when people are confronted with noise, trampling, crowds, and extreme fatigue, end of quote. We all want to watch the sunset at Santorini. Thank you.
Thank you, Issam. Does anybody want to join our list? Anyone? I will, but I just want anybody else to come on down and share. No? Okay, so I guess I'll go. So, this one is called "And Then What?" I wrote this because I said, my friend was talking about her, you know, boy issues, and I said, "And then what?" She's like, "Okay, blah, blah, blah." And then I said, "And then what?" And we realized there's nothing to it. That's just it. We just sitting there. But, "And then what? You just delighted me. Your eyes, when they glisten in this light, when you're speaking in that voice, all I want to do is hold myself. And then what? When I hold myself just like this and your eyes glisten back at me while I'm looking at you and you're recording with my iPhone, I say, and then what? When I stand here and tell you exactly how I feel about your eyes glistening in this light and you tell me exactly how you feel and then say, and then what? All I can do is tell you that I think I'm falling in love with you. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about how it started. As I kissed your knuckles, I kissed your palm first. I kissed your palm because I needed to show you how much I care about you, but you don't like that. You don't like the way I carried you and your misconceived confusion that is weight because you felt like there is something missing, and then what? You never said a word that could have been what I needed to wake up from the cold, sleepless nights that I could have been resting. Sleep never met me in the night, and then what? Your eyes constantly avoided my gaze, and then when I wanted you to look, no camera could capture your perfection. You looked the other way. You were afraid to fall deeper than you already have. And then what? The questions that I have answers to, that you could have asked in any way you wanted, were questions that I thought about, and they ate me from the inside. All I wanted was for you to listen. And then what? Let's go back to sleepless nights. You pushed me away. Let's talk about it. You know, I realized at the Coney Island at 3:09 a.m., we were saying, and then what? It was a red turban, a red shirt, a red jacket, red pants, and white shoes. And then it was a Michigan salad with cranberries, pickled onions, lettuce, tangerines, black olives, and possibly some raisins, I'm not sure, with the fries and a Pepsi. And it started with, and then what? And we tried to figure out where it was going, and 12 minutes later we figured out it would begin with, and then what, and end with, and then what? Because there is no before and after. And then what? We could say and then what and keep going and talk about the same things that bothered us yesterday. And instead, we can say and then what and continue from there and realize that we had the answers all along. We are blinded by the infatuation that comes from the sadness that we crave because it's better to feel something than nothing at all. And then what? I can deliver a message to you, and I wouldn't wait for the response because I am not sure that you will reply. Making me wait in that quiet place for you is your way of showing me how torturing me is more important than telling me the truth. And then what? And I sit in a good place, that I have spent time building from the shattered pieces that you created, because the only way I can create a foundation from my emotions stronger than I have ever been before, a glass palace with a maze entrance that I have made every step that will be taken will be the step suitable for the vast greatness that I will become, with ceilings that have no limits and no indication of what could be from the time that I know will be my ultimate healer. And then what? When I say that I can keep going, I can create more words to describe what my cycle, my depression could put me in. I have yet to figure out its obsession with me. Why does it weigh me down and prevent me from flying to a higher ground that has the air that I need to inhale? Why does it crave my time, and why does it allow me to travel the woods without any sense of building a campfire, because preferring the cold, wet ground is expected over making a crisp fire that could go against the battles in my head trying to convince me how good I am and not being good enough? And then what? And then what? I would just like to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you guys so much for coming out. It was a great turnout, great performances, great everything, just great crowd. This is Dome on Wednesday of July 17th at 8:23. Thank you. Does anybody else want to get up here? I know you do. Try. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.